Hey guys, real quick before we get into the show, some of you may have noticed on Facebook that Bill is a part of the Doritos Super Bowl competition. He made a Super Bowl commercial for Doritos, and he needs your votes. So if you go to thedadpodcast.com, on the left-hand side, there's a link that says vote for Bill, and voting starts November 28th through December 14th. You can vote once a day, every day, and the name of the commercial you need to vote for is called Treasure Box, and it's very funny, worth a watch. Please help him out and support him. Thanks. Enjoy the show.
I'm here to tell you about Naptime Radio. It's a show for moms and dads, and these chicks are super cool.
Mac Daddy and Damia.
And they want you to listen.
Yes, we want it. We want it so bad.
I know you do. Heather and Kate offer helpful info for parents with their power naps. Oh, and did I mention? These chicks are sexy as hell, y'all.
Let's ride that train.
All I need is a ticket.
Let's eliminate one article of clothing for one meal. How about that?
Oh, now it's a party. So go to naptimeradio.com or click on the logo available on our site.
Nailed it!
Chase the sun.
Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. This is episode number 29. As you can see in the description, I am here in Old Sacramento, California with Junior Bruce. Thank you for coming and being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You may, for those of you who follow me on Twitter or Facebook and all that stuff, you probably saw that I was on the Junior and Leo show. That's a podcast that Junior Bruce does with Leo. Yeah. How do you know Leo? Can I ask?
Leo and I met outside of an open mic a little over a year ago, and we hit it off. He was creepy. I was creepy. We got together and just figured we'd take our special brand of creepiness to the podcast world.
Before we get into you as a dad, I'm curious. I don't know if you just throw this out. Have you had a history of being creepy? Does that come up a lot?
Well, I am a large person.
Yes, he's a very big man.
I'm a very big, white, bald man wearing glasses. And
Bluto-esque, I would say. I hope that's not hurtful.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Bluto was creepy.
Yeah.
The way he was always pining over all the oil. absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot of rape suggestion in those kinds of cartoons.
He had a way with
the
women.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the right way, but it was his way, and I can respect that. I don't know. I fought it for a long time, and then I started embracing
fight being creepy? Like you tried to not. Here's what I imagine. Okay. So tell me if I'm wrong.
Is that
I imagine that if you're fighting trying to be creepy, that you overcompensate by trying to be delightful.
Yes, absolutely.
Which almost comes across even more creepy. Am I wrong?
Yeah, because I'm trying too hard at that point. It would have been better if I would have just stayed regular old creepy.
Creepy guy.
Yeah.
So how does a creepy guy meet a wife?
Well, I don't want to say anything bad or insinuate anything, but drugs were involved.
Oh, really?
No, not really.
Oh,
no, no. she was the first. I have my real last name is Radke, and there's like a T, like right in the middle of the name, which just throws everybody off.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the first woman to make eye contact and get my name right on the first try. And I said, okay, you're a keeper.
So she was one of your teachers? Why was she saying your last name?
I met her at her job, and I was returning something, and she read my name, and she got it correct, and that was the test.
I love it.
That was the test.
I don't know what the thing was, but I imagine some kind of Target situation. This is the picture being painted in my head.
Yeah, I was returning some tarps.
Some tarps at
some
Target
tarps,
or at a hardware store?
No, it was at Target. I had some galoshes.
Okay.
I had from
a previous murder?
A rain jacket. Well, like I said, I was creepy.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to hide the evidence,
I love that this is real.
Yeah.
I love we completely organically started off with your creepy joke, and then you meet your wife returning essentially a botched serial killing kit. It didn't work out. She ran too fast.
Yeah, there was a kink in a hose.
Yeah, she got away.
Get rid of the evidence.
So you're in line, and do you see her? And you're like, man, this gal is fetching. And
I saw her, and she was the only one there, so she had to help me.
Okay,
which helped.
Yeah,
we kind of started talking.
So she says, "Mr. Ratke, I can help you." Which she looks at your card and
yeah, she sees a card. She sees what I bought. She said, "Oh, I'm into you know galoshes and you know, anytime."
I also am a serial killer.
Absolutely. And
did she really say I'm into galoshes? Please tell me.
No, she didn't. But no, she got my name.
There's going to be a lot of this, and I want you to know up front that I don't care. But I don't know what it is when I do this show. Mm-hmm. I feel like there are jokes that I don't understand.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I know I'm a comedian by profession, so I get jokes. I make them.
Okay.
That's part of the job.
That's a good thing.
So, yeah, it's important in what I do. For whatever reason, I turn on this microphone and I put headphones on, and I'm like, hold on, are you serious? Because there's a part of me that really wants that to be true. That,
yes.
You know, she's like, you know what, I like galoshes. And I think it's because I don't really know you. Maybe that's another aspect,
too. You don't know me at all.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you let me into this lovely condo here.
I know, isn't this great?
Yeah, no, it's... I just want to say, I've got all my gear in the car. And
you got tarps and galoshes.
This episode might not air.
It may not go. Oh, wow.
No, actually, might as well
stop now then.
Well, then let me shatter your hopes and dreams.
Okay.
No, we worked together. Mm-hmm. And first time I met her, I was returning something. It was like a shirt or something.
Okay.
And
so you worked at the same place that she
we
did?
We worked at the same place.
Okay.
At the same place. And we didn't really know each other, didn't really talk to each other.
Yeah.
I returned the shirt. She got my name right. I told her I'd seen some band. I went to a concert, and she was jealous of that. And then
was that you making a move? Is that you making the talk?
No, not at all. Oh, okay. No, I at that point, I didn't date in high school. I didn't hang out with anybody. I was in the lunchroom or the library every chance I could get, just minding my own business, drawing on my little sketchbook. And, you know, I'd given up on the idea of being with a woman. That just had completely... gone away. I had accepted that. I was angry, very, very angry, but I had let it go, and I was learning to deal. She actually proceeded to hit on me.
Yeah,
you know, here
my
and there.
Man.
She was inviting me out, and I kept like flaking on her.
Really?
Well, because I didn't know.
You didn't know. You thought she
no,
was...
I thought she was just inviting everybody. And it turns out I was the only one getting the invites.
Isn't that interesting how stupid guys are about chicks?
Yeah,
like it's like. I've had a girl literally rub her ass on my crotch in a bar, you know, like after a show.
Right.
And she's like, you know, and then I told my wife that story. My wife was like, you dumbass. She was trying to fuck you.
Yeah.
I go, no, she was. I think she felt I always feel like, especially because I'm married and on the road, I always feel like I'm safe. And so girls can, you know, have a little fun or whatever. And
right.
I'm not going to do anything. You know, it's like, whatever, you know. And it was funny because I was staying in this shitty condo, or it wasn't even a condo. It was like a motel behind this Mexican food place that I performed at in Los Banos, California.
Okay.
And so after the show, this girl's talking to me about her boyfriend and everything. And so we go to this other bar, and that's when she starts dancing on me. And I'm like, this is weird, you know?
Yeah.
And then she goes, where do they have you guys stay in? And I told her where I was staying. And I told her, because the funny thing was I could hear the headliner clear his throat in the room next door to me. That's how thin the walls were.
Okay.
There was no shower head in the shower. And unfortunately, I didn't wake up early enough because I really wanted to see what it was like to take a shower without a shower head. And then I imagine a lot of grains of sand. You know, I don't know if anybody's ever taken a shower head off. There's always that sand that's in there.
Yeah, yeah. I would imagine it'd be something like, you know, Rambo from First Blood.
Yes.
Yeah. Just getting hosed.
And they had an extension cord. They had a dorm fridge because it was fancy.
Fancy.
And then on the other side of the end, there was like a little entry space to go into the bathroom, right? And so on either side, there was a dorm fridge on the left and the TV was on the right, but the outlet was over there. So they'd run an extension cord from the outlet behind the TV to power the refrigerator, and it was right in that walkway. Didn't tape it down, didn't do anything. Like,
no,
it was
why?
Just there. And, like,
it accentuates the room.
Yeah, total trip
it ties
hazard.
The two rooms together.
It was awesome. But the reason, though, too, is that the reason I lost track of time is because at about 5 in the morning, there's a humongous, like, oak-type tree outside, and there was 80 bajillion crows in there. And if I can hear the guy next door clear his throat, those crows might as well have been in bed with me. They're
right.
Just, craw, craw, like, I'm not kidding. I've never seen a fucking tree full of crows. I would have thought that they were, that was like the birds, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It was some kind of remake or something. It was insane. So I was telling her all this stuff, and she goes, you know, I have a nice 3-bedroom place. Why don't you come back? You could crash with me. And this is, again, how stupid I am. Guys, listen to the show. Like, why would you tell your wife this? And I'll tell you why. For two reasons. Number one, my wife does not get jealous. She's seen me naked. She knows what I bring in the bedroom. I'm assuming she does. And so my assumption, I mean, she knows it's not like you can't look at me. You know how I'm backpedaling a lot. You look at, you know, you look,
you're safe.
Yeah, you say that like a guy who dances, right?
Right.
When you can see how a guy dances, that's supposed to be how he is in the bed. My wife has seen me dance, is what I'm trying to say. She knows that there is nothing that you could see on the surface, you know, that is going to make, yes,
yeah,
I need to slice a little off of that. She likes to tell me that she thinks girls hit on me on the road, but this is the only time it's happened. So I go, she goes, oh, you can come back and stay at my place. And so I told my wife this story because I thought it was funny that this, you know, what I thought was funny is that she was rubbing her ass on me. And my wife goes, you're so dumb. She was trying to fuck you. And I go, no, dude. She was dancing. She had a little to drink. You know, she felt safe with me because she knew I was married. She's like, no, she wanted it. I go, why would a girl want to sleep with a married guy? She goes, because then it's like some kind of pissing contest that chicks have with each other. So,
I would find her story to be suspect when she says she has a nice 3-bedroom house in Los Baños.
Yeah, in the bathroom.
And you know, any girl rubbing her butt on you in the bathroom, I don't know.
Well, yes, probably, in the bathroom of the city.
Yes.
Yeah, she'd rub more on me in the bathroom of the bar. Bayo! you're right. It's funny, though, because here's my point, too, is that what threw me is that she was probably the most attractive woman that was at the show.
but where's the bar?
Yeah. Like, that's true.
Where's the bar?
That's an interesting point. I don't think... See, my mind doesn't work like that. Okay. I'm not that kind of guy. Like, I don't believe in the whole an Ohio 8 is a LA 4. Uh-huh. You know, like those kinds of people.
Right.
Like, I don't think that way. She was a very beautiful woman. I think I wish I had I would carry a picture of her because I think most guys would look at her and go, yes, she's a pretty lady. But it was the fact that she was so attractive
right.
that further solidified that she would not be hitting on me.
No.
That there was far better looking young
she
men in there.
She just had to rub her ass up against something.
Yes.
And you happened to
she
be.
She had an itch
okay.
that she needed the fly of my jeans to scratch, and that's how it went down.
And you were a gentleman.
I was.
You were going to turn her down.
Speaking of scratching jeans, well, first let me find out just so I can get the little particulars
sure.
out of the way. You have a daughter?
I do. I have a daughter who turned 2 a few months ago.
2 years old. What? Yeah. Let's talk real quick about that.
Sure.
This is
the dad podcast.
I know, yeah,
let's
but fuck that dad
real
shit.
Quick.
No, I just want to know what's because here's the thing. I've always for so much of the show when we did it with Bill, it's always been like boy centric and everything like that. So
yeah.
I wanted to see. Every time I have somebody have a daughter, I like to ask them,
sure.
as you know, you listen. So, what's it like having a daughter? Like,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You know, I'm actually happy that I had a girl and, you know, I'm pushing for us not to have any more. I'm not somebody who needs to have, you know, like one of each.
Yeah.
Like my big fear before we knew what it was going to be, my big fear was that we were going to have a boy and based on the way I was raised, and this isn't, you know, speaking of my dad, but you know, there was a lot of expectation. I was afraid I was going to expect too much,
mm-hmm.
Be a little too quick to lose my temper.
I think I do that.
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't want to be that kind of dad because, you know, I'd had that kind of dad and I wanted to do something different. And that could sound sexist and I don't expect anything out of my daughter, but she's surprising me all the time.
You know, in that situation, that's interesting because I have sons, so I feel like my job is to give the role model of what a man is supposed to be.
Right.
Does that put the onus on your wife then? Is that what that does when you have a daughter?
I think in terms of what it means to be a woman, no. I think there's a strong component that the dad brings. I mean, there was a story a couple months ago about a 15-year-old girl who committed suicide because she had flashed herself online and somebody was holding her, you know, took a picture of it and was trying to extort like more pictures and stuff out of her. And,
mm-hmm.
and she wound up, you know, killing herself after
Jesus.
Doing a video. And I think it's the Amanda Todd story. If mm-hmm. anybody listening wants to look up and, you know, be depressed.
Yeah, but
for me, like I read all about that story and
mm-hmm.
It's tragic. But what it seemed to me was there was a strong lacking of a male role model in her life. Because I think the male role model, based on the way he treats his wife and other women in his life, you know, that's what's going to tell a little girl how she should be treated. I think, you know, if it's just a mom, you know, moms are amazing. They do amazing things. But dads, you know, they do bring something important. You know, I try to mind the way I act around her and be the better guy I know I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And not quite yet, but I try to fake it as much as possible when she's in the room so that, you know, she's not growing up thinking it's okay to be, you know, treated like shit and all that stuff.
I do like the idea that you are a self-proclaimed creepy guy.
Oh, yeah.
And you know how we all, that psychological thing that, you know, as guys, we look for somebody who's like our mom, and our wives look for somebody who's kind of like our dad. Mm-hmm. Or you, I think I found it's either that or you kind of try to go the exact opposite.
Right.
But it's never really like a gray area.
I went the exact opposite.
Of your mom?
My parents are, you know, both of them, they're exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Right now, they are probably playing World of Warcraft, you know, leveling their panda bears.
Are you shitting me?
No. They're really.
They're really playing World of Warcraft.
They're really wow.
How old are your parents?
They are in their mid-50s.
And they're sitting... God damn, do you have any siblings?
I do. I have two younger sisters.
And they still live at home then?
No, they're out.
Everybody's out of the house?
Everybody's out.
God bless them.
Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. My youngest sister at the moment is living with her baby daddy. She has two kids. They're living at home. But, yeah, they might as well not be there. I mean, yeah. they're looking for
Well, they're all, they have kids. Like, you're saying that they don't have to parent, really.
No. They get to play video games now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I say it's awesome because I do look forward to that time, you know, mm-hmm. where you kind of get to check out. But before I get back to that, what I wanted to say is that, do you think on some level your daughter will have some kind of an attraction to a guy who has a creepy side to him? And here's what I think is that what makes that a good thing is that you yourself self-proclaimed like you didn't think you had a chance with a chick. Like you never thought that was going to happen, you know, but your wife sees a little something in you. So maybe I'm curious to see, A, is your father-in-law a little creepy? You know what I mean? Like, okay. So she sees through that. You understand, like a villain in a movie oftentimes is misunderstood, not really evil. Especially in like 1950s, right. He's misunderstood.
Right.
I feel like you're the creepy guy who's misunderstood to be creepy, almost like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Do you find this flattering?
No, I accept it. I accept it. I think creepy though is difficult to quantify because I think you know we are all creepy. Every man is creepy. We all share that.
I am not.
Okay, and you're the one. You're the only one.
All of the pussy would be for me. Yeah.
I think you know I'm a little more. I'm open. Doing comedy. You know, you learn to have no shame, so I can just throw it out there, no problem. You know, I am like the Dexter of creepy. It is my dark passenger, and I must give into it every so often. And I have a code.
What's the last creepy thing that you do?
You know, I look up girls I used to go to high school with.
Okay.
And had crushes on.
That's normal. That's not creepy. But either that or maybe now I'm back to creepy
stuff. I'm looking for them on like YouPorn and I'm desperately hoping that at some
point. I know you're joking, but that's a really funny idea.
I am desperately hoping that one of these days I'm going to spend, because I'm going to spend the 30 minutes looking for it. It's just looking for a face that looks familiar.
It's like,
with my luck, though.
I want you to make a documentary. It's like Catfish, right?
Yeah.
Meets I Want to Date Drew Barrymore. Remember that documentary where the guy just was like putting out there that he wanted to date Drew Barrymore and then he got to have lunch with her at the end of the movie or whatever?
No, I don't remember.
But I think she was still married to Kevin Green at the time. Or was it Kevin Green? Is that
Tom
right?
Green.
Tom Green. Thank you. Yeah. But so you just have this fest where you just constantly plug in, like, you maybe pick two or three girls that you wish you had a shot at.
That's what I do.
And you just go into YouPorn and then plug them in. And then one day, it's like, ba-boom, there it comes up.
It's kind of like Maverick, you know, when he's always trying to pull that ace of spades.
Yep.
Yeah, one of these days I'm going to pull that ace of spades.
And it's going to come
up. And it's probably going to be like, you know, a cousin or somebody I know who I don't want to see naked. Like,
well, hold
like on. God forbid, like, it is 20 years from now and I'm looking for porn and, you know, I see my daughter, I'll be freaking out.
Oh, yeah. No,
I at least hope she's lesbian because then I won't see it.
Yeah, right.
You know, because I need dick when I'm watching pornography. She'll be in completely different worlds.
We just experienced you creeping up the podcast.
There you
go. Well done. That was the phrase. I need dick. Well understood, right? Now I think I figured out what creepy is. Creepy is when
that's
you say
my brand
things
of creepy.
Yeah, that you say things that don't necessarily need to be said.
Right,
they're understood because it's not necessarily abnormal for someone to be like, you know what, I'm not into girl on girl.
Right,
I like a traditional.
I could have said it that way.
Yeah, no, even then though, I'm saying, but the idea of you stating the fact that you need to have a penis in your porn.
Yes,
not even homophobic, but it does create a thickness in the air, you will, a fog of some kind.
Absolutely, that's
of tension.
You know, this is a comedy.
That's
condo. I think there's plenty of creepy things that happened.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
In here, so.
You know, it's funny. Comedians always talk about how they don't. I was talking about this with some friends. I had some friends come through town. I'm very lucky that I grew up near here, and so they come, and I'll come by and say, oh, let me grab some water or something before we go. And they always go, oh, that's nice. You know, it's not bad. It's a nice place that they, right. where they put us up. I really do like it. And a lot of comics don't like staying in the comedy condos. And I think one of the biggest things is because they don't know how, like, they're like, how many chicks have been banged on that bed right there? And so my opinion is that I think that the number is exponentially less than if you stay at a hotel. That's my opinion. I think it is more likely because here we're batting on the odds of the success of a comedian. You know what I mean? Like
right.
one dude once a week, how much can he pull in? How much is he interested in pulling in?
Right.
You know, so that whereas a hotel, very commonly known that that's what it's for.
If this was Los Baños, you know, it's just the same woman yeah. every weekend.
Yeah, because there's one hot chick there.
One hot chick, rub her ass on everybody.
I just want you to know, fellas, I've had her.
Yeah.
I've had her, so good luck with that.
Missed out on a picture opportunity.
But before I got into this whole thing, another thing that I wanted to show you, for those of you who follow me on Twitter, at Justin Worsham. Oh, did I ruin it and throw it away? I'll have to pull it up. That they
you just
I found
had
this.
It was right there.
No,
right
it's there. Not. It's another thing.
Oh, something
that
different.
Yeah. So, I found this thing, and it makes me so happy because I found this on another Twitter account or whatever, and I retweeted this photo, and it's a family photo. Did you see this? Here?
I did not.
Check this out. If I can get it to load up, this is a family photo.
Aw.
So now look close. So there's dad. And I apologize that we're going to be talking about something that we're seeing. There's dad. There's mom on top of dad's back. There's the oldest son on top of mom's back. And then the younger son on top of that son's back. And then it looks like a daughter on the very top. And then the youngest son sitting in front.
That's such a great idea.
Yeah, isn't that awesome? By the way, people who are listening to this, all of them are naked. Every single one of them. So they build like a pyramid. And here's what I think
it's more
is
like
so
a dog pile.
Yeah, it's a weird. And so when I saw this at first, like somebody posted it as like the most awkward family photo ever. And I like here's the thing. I like to think that I'm progressive. Mm-hmm. I like to think that I'm tolerant of most things. And everybody's there so happy. They look like a happy Mormon family.
They look like a very together bunch.
Right, don't they? And yeah. yet I feel like there is no way that you could walk out of this picture. I mean, look at it. Not that I'm homophobic at all, but there's literally hip to hip.
Yes.
Those two boys are. Not to mention, this son is experiencing the sensation of his mother's ass on yeah. his crotch. And he is at least 10 years old. Am I wrong, Junior?
No, you're absolutely right.
So here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that, sure, maybe you're a quirky family. All I can hope is that mom or dad are photographers and they had, because it's a backdrop. Like, it's a professional photo.
You're hoping that's cut and pasted together?
No.
Photoshop?
No. What I'm saying is all I can hope is that that's what happened, that, you know, mom or dad are a photographer and they have a little studio.
And they didn't go to some other studio?
Yes. Because
that's a Walmart picture.
Yes,
right
because
there.
What happens to that guy? You understand? That guy who's like, I have to, oh, yeah, I didn't even think that it's like Sears photo. Like, they come in, we have an idea, so just turn around and be ready. Like, that's an awkward visit to picture people at the mall,
yes.
right there. When a family of, what, six? Am I right? Am I doing my math?
Yeah,
family. Of six
people,
decides
yeah.
to get naked and climb on each other's asses. And then this boy here has to be 3 years old at the most.
Yeah.
And how did they get him to conveniently put his hands and foot right in front of his junk?
I have no idea.
And I
Super
think
glue,
it's,
maybe.
I think it's interesting in a world where we're so anti, you know, because here's the thing. I want to look at this picture. I want to see it. And I want to say, hey, it's a family. They're having fun. Who
sure.
am I to judge them? But at the same time, I just feel like it's that's weird. Like, and they all look so
well. That's one way to guarantee that the oldest son is going to pick somebody completely opposite from his mom because he's already had his mom.
Yeah, he's already been there.
He doesn't need to do that again.
Yeah, like it's getting weirdly. And here's the thing. And I know that that's probably a guy thing. Like, I know that that's a guy thing to kind of over sexualize things. And I know there's nothing sexual about this, what this is doing, but. It's weird. Like, I think it's so funny that their faces are all happy and they all look like they just love each other.
Yeah.
And obviously nobody's embarrassed or weirded out by it. But at this, why is it that it has this, I have this response of like, that is inappropriate.
I had a similar experience with something else not too long ago. We have Netflix, and mm-hmm. one of the things I like to do with my daughters, we'll sit and, you know, they have a Netflix for kids if you mm-hmm. have the instant streaming, so
yep.
it's great. You could throw in any number
like
of
a
things.
Category and just pick a movie out.
Right, right. And I put on Sesame Street Classics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. okay. Now, I grew up on Sesame Street back in the early 80s, and it was great. It was awesome. I watched one of the episodes, though, where it has, I forget the older white dude's name, the main guy.
Gordon? No, that's the
Not
black
Gordon,
guy.
Gordon, that's the black guy.
All right, I'll look it up while you tell your story.
But I think his name's like Dave or John or something other than those. And at one point, it's just like a little three-minute segment where he's walking down the street mm-hmm. of Sesame Street, and he's singing to little children, "You are beautiful. You are everything.
Bob.
Bob."
Yeah.
Yeah, and... You know, I'm watching this with my daughter, and instantly I'm like, that's the one of the creepiest things I've ever seen. Okay, because these aren't his kids.
Yeah.
These are random kids just hanging random. Out on the street. And who lets their kids hang out on the street unattended
right.
anymore? But he's singing to, like, this group of children and how beautiful they are. And if you were to air that today, people would be like, that guy's a pedophile.
Right. But if I look at that too, see, this is why I brought this up. I'm not trying to make fun of this family because of their eccentric photo. What I'm trying to explore here is what's going on in our heads. Because for some reason you put it on Sesame yeah. Street and Bob McGrath, it's like, what's wrong with telling a child that they're beautiful and
right.
singing to
it
them?
It should be innocent. And it's sad that we've gotten to a point now in society where we're all so jaded.
Yes.
That we can't look at something innocent like that.
Right.
And just enjoy the innocence. We have to put we have to come all over that with just some disgusting modern day sick sexual fantasy
yeah.
to it.
Well, that's the other point is that I look at, and I need to go back to the photographer because I want to explore just that with you. But this is the other thing that I think is interesting. And I wonder if it's what I have a problem with is that this family is beautiful. I mean, they are all very, very attractive people.
Well, the youngest, the 3-year-old's not that great.
You've seen better? Yeah, you're right. He's got a pudge. He should work on those abs or whatever.
Yeah.
But they
the
are.
Other ones are nice.
There's like, and it's a black and white photo, but I just think it's funny that there's no tan lines and everything. And here's the thing, though, too, is that the other problem that I have with it. So my point first was, I wonder if they were unattractive. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like if they were just a fugly family, if I would just be like, oh, that's yeah. And I would move on. And if it's the fact that it is an appealing picture to
right.
my eyes. So I look, I'm like, because I do, I look at it and I go, look at that sweet family all loving each other. And then I'm like, wait, because when I first saw it, I didn't even know this was a girl.
Right.
There was a girl on top until I just started looking at it with you. And I was like, well, she's cute, but I don't want to see her ass. Like that's weird for me.
Yeah.
And so my point is how does this get on the internet? You know what I mean? This isn't Pamela and Tommy Lee we're looking at. This is just some family that could live in the middle of downtown Indianapolis, for all we know, or
right.
some suburb. So they had to put it up on Facebook or something. So there's a level of gloating. There's a level of
sure.
putting it out there saying, hey, what do you guys think of this? And that's the part that I'm like, maybe that's what's creeping me out.
Yeah. Well,
this is interesting. I have a creepy photo, and I bring in a guy creepy unintentionally.
It's all coming together. The planets are
so
aligning.
So much kismet happening on this episode.
Yeah, I'm so happy that the episode I finally get to be on is the creepy episode.
You're like my...
I'm really
like
happy I went to walk down that road like right away.
Like,
great.
If I'm Oprah, you're the Dr. Oz of creepy. I
sure,
have you.
Sure. And I'm going to look good forever, basically. One thing, though, is like I hadn't seen this, and I don't know how viral quote unquote this picture is becoming, but if this was like Honey Boo Boo's family, it would
oh, yeah.
be everywhere.
Yes,
because I mean the freakishness, like
yes.
there's a level of freakishness to this because we are not used to seeing this.
Mm-hmm.
Now this could be normal for this family, like every
yeah.
Sunday after church they get together, they climb on top of each other naked, and it's great. and fair enough for them. Honey Boo Boo, you know, when you've got just grotesque people getting naked, and I mean, they're fully clothed and they're already viral. I mean, they're all
yeah.
over the place. So
yeah.
I don't know. I would much rather see more pictures like this with loving families posing together in this fashion than to have the Honey Boo Boos of the world.
Solid
out there.
Point. Solid you know? Point, Mr. Bruce.
And I think that it's a good thing they took this picture when they did, because if they'd waited a year, I think
yeah.
Mama would have been getting a little bit more than she was bargaining.
Yeah, exactly. And how, like, because you're right. He is too young where he probably doesn't know exactly. And see, that's the thing. The smiles look so pure and they look so cuddly that, because here's anybody who's ever taken a picture as a family.
You yeah.
know, you'd go to even making a Christmas card or anything like that. You can never get the kids to all smile. And
no.
They're just like, I don't want to do this. Even if you take a solo picture of a child, They will smile, or if you're taking pictures of other things, they go, take a picture of me, take a picture of me. But they have this sixth sense of when we need you to get all together, everybody needs to be on the same page, and anybody who has more than one child, I have two children,
right,
and it's hard to get them both just to look and smile at the camera at the same time. There are people that have five or more children that it's just, you must want to die. So that's the other thing that I imagine when I saw this photo is like, there's a lot of like, mom, come on, mom, I'm not going to sit on your ass, mom. Yeah. This is weird.
For
this
them
is
to
creepy.
Be able to pile up all together like yeah. that and be smiling and yeah. looking at the camera, on parents of the year.
Some kind of aunt had to lift these children to put, like, especially a little girl, like they have to climb on and they're all giggling. Because that's the other thing that makes me think that they're not photographers, because I like this picture, and if I know these people, I'm sure that I get them and I understand why they took this picture. I'm sure that maybe there's some kind of joke story. Right. I don't know. Maybe they lost a Super Bowl bet or something like that. Yeah. Maybe some kind of mayor of some adjacent town to a Super Bowl loser. You know how the mayors of the towns do the bet yes. of, like, I'll give you six cups of clam chowder
so
or whatever.
This was a mayor.
Of some adjacent town. He lost the bet of the Super Bowl, and so now this is what his family has to do. Yeah, right? It's gambling is the sin. But it's just weirded out to me because I feel like they have to be put up, they have to be stacked there, you know, because they can't get in that position and then run around and hit the timer. Or maybe we live in a world where they have a remote now. I don't know. But that's the other thing I want to talk about with this before I move on is that you're the photographer, okay. right? These people come in and they say, we have an idea. What I want to do is my wife and I want to strip down naked. Because there's no way that anybody's wearing underwear or anything in
no.
this photo.
No, it's completely nudity.
Now, there could be towels or blankets. But here's my point, too, is that are laid down in between in the way that you in the way that cheese like is stacked inside the Tillamook thing.
Yes.
They have a little wax paper to separate the sheets.
Right.
They could have little wax paper
little
pieces.
Satin patch sheets, yeah. like right in between them, yeah.
But to me, I feel like if you have a satin patch, that almost implies something that shouldn't be implied. You right? You know, that makes it unintentionally sexual as well. But it's
sure.
like you just climb on me naked. It's not a big deal. I'm your mother, you're his little brother, and you're his little sister, it's fine. That's normal. But if you like,
sure.
well, don't let your penis touch my bunghole, then that's where it's like, hey, then well, maybe what we're doing isn't appropriate.
Do you think it's weirder to have like the little penis pressed up against a cheek or be right in the middle where it's possibly just hanging there, though?
Oh, like so you're saying like it's down low?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know
yeah,
what's worse.
I don't know. And that's the thing, too, is that I know that if I decided to take this picture and my son climbed up on my wife's bare ass with his junk, there would be nothing sexual about it.
Right.
Nothing. I know that for a fact.
Right.
But I cannot. And again, I go back to, I think it's because this is an attractive family. I cannot look at that and go, that kid. And I don't know if it's because my stupid male monkey brain is putting me in that position of being on top of that mom. And I'm like, yeah, I'm all right with that. You know what I mean? Like, she's easy on the eyes. She's a looker.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't yeah. know what it is. I just... It's so weird to me. But my point is the photographer. Like they come in and they say, "This is what we're going to do."
Sure.
How many people said no? You know what I mean? Like, do you think there had to be places that go, "We don't do things like this"?
I don't know. I would imagine that, like, if you're a photographer and mm-hmm. you're in a photography business and you have a studio, you probably know other photographers. You know other studios. This could very well have been they rented out a studio for themselves.
Like a friend, yeah.
And the photographer said, sure, no problem. And they said, we just want this for our family,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. And then when they were done, the photographer was like, motherfucker, I got to share this shit.
Oh.
And he posts it up on the internet, or he leaks yeah. it to like one of his photography buddies, and then it gets posted.
Well, that's the other thing with stuff that becomes viral, too, now. Is like you could look at this picture, and I mean, based on the little girl's haircut, like this could be early 90s for all we know.
Yeah, they're all, they're either all grown up and healthy or they're all dead. You know, you can't tell from the
Thanks,
picture.
Junior. Thanks.
You never know. You're right. This is a memory locked in time.
They could be all grown up and healthy or dead. Nothing in between. Nope. Those are the two options.
Yeah, I like to look at things as, black and white.
It's a black and white photo.
It's a black and white photo, so I'm trying to stay in the moment.
Because I just feel like there's got to be, like, at some point, if it's like – if I'm the photographer, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. And then when you start to see them stack, there's a moment where you kind of second guess what you did.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I really want to talk to the guy that did this without even flinching, because I find that hard. I find that hard that he's going to look at that without even flinching, or he is kind of douchey,
yeah,
which means he's not a friend, where he's like, yeah, I'm so putting this on the internet.
Yeah.
I'm so throwing this out there.
I don't know. This family, when you do something like that, it kind of seems like a Jonestown moment. Like, this is one of those.
Jonestown. I don't get the reference.
Like Jim Jones. No. Drinking the Kool-Aid, everybody.
Oh, okay, yeah.
This
okay.
seems like one of those. This is a last hurrah. The kids don't know why they're doing it.
Yeah, they.
All they know is that if they do this, mommy and daddy have promised to take them to Disneyland. Okay. Little do they know, Disneyland is a car ride with some Kool-Aid into a lake.
This is their final. I like that you keep wanting them to die. I like that.
It's not that I want them to die. I just know. Live in the now. Yeah. You know, this is
that doesn't make sense either. I love it. It's not that I want them to die. I just live in the now. What?
It makes sense if it's coming from
yeah.
me.
All right. Okay. No, I say so you're. So I
hope for the best. I'm a hopeful person.
And so there's the other element to the photographer that I think he's sitting there and he's going, you know what? He's just like, man, this is a paycheck. This is uncomfortable. It's creepy. Because if it was me, there would be an element where I'm kind of like, you know, I'm sweating
a
little.
I'm kind of creeped out at how fascinated you are with this photo.
I'm unbelievably fascinated. I'm glad that's an achievement if I can creep even you out. Because there's so, like, that's what I see. Like, a lot of people see this, I think, and they look at it and they're just like, oh, that's a weird photo. That's kind of crazy. I would never do that.
Right.
But what my mind does.
You can't take your eyes off.
I can't. My mind does to it is that there is so much complexity to the psychology of what is happening in this instant.
Yeah.
There is so much going on, and there's so many layers, because it's literally layered with people and genitals. You understand? Right. So it's like there's so much intimacy. There is a family dynamic. There's getting siblings that seem to never fight so much. And like, because
yeah, you can't imagine them taking swings at one another.
Right. Not when they've been.
At least not with their fists.
Not when they've done a trust exercise to put above their mantle.
Right.
You don't understand? Like, this is what I feel like.
Absolutely.
But take away the child aspect. I have easily seen grown people do this on Real Sex on HBO.
Yes.
You understand? Like, it seems like that kind of vibe and that kind of. And then what that does is it's a vicious cycle in my own head. Because every time my mind does anything where it's sexualizing this picture, I don't like that about me. And then I start looking at it. Like complexly, that becomes complex with my own psychology, because I'm like, well, what's going on with me that I'm looking at this picture and I'm over sexualizing it?
I think what you need to do in order to fully understand what's going on
Please
in this
don't
picture.
Say whatever you're gonna say.
I'm sure a Google search will bring up the photographer.
Oh, okay.
And you will be able to go take your very own family portrait.
No, I could not.
All right. And then you'll understand that this is complete, 100% innocent, fun. It's a moment in time. And
so you're saying I need to go home and tell my wife, honey, I need you and the boys to lie on my back naked.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to do it.
Either that
or when my children get taken away, I need you to adopt them for me. Well,
Find out more. I'll take your kids. I need someone to be. No. I'm just kidding.
Creepy.
I know. That's me.
Creepy. Well, speaking of.
What's creepy is that you made this your wallpaper. What's up with that?
What? Well, how am I not going to look at it? How am I? See, this is what you don't understand, Junior. You have to find closure in things, okay?
Right.
If this isn't my wallpaper, it's on my phone now.
Okay.
It's very close to becoming my profile picture.
Yeah.
Because the more I look at it, the more I've resolved the psychological issue that I seem to be having with it.
That's all that matters.
People, please go look at this. I know we've talked about it for easily 20 minutes, but that it's on my Twitter at Justin Worsham, and you'll just have to go back through my pictures a little bit depending on when you're listening to this, but it's up there. I'm afraid to repost it on like Facebook for fear that it isn't quite as viral as I understand. Here's what I would love to also have happen. I would love to have a listener say, that picture, it went viral like 8 years ago. Why are you rehashing this? What are you going to do next week? Charlie bit my finger? Is that your thing? Is that what you're doing now?
There are dicks out there.
Well, I'm just saying, listeners, buckle up, because I'm going to be away from my family for a long time, so it's going to be hard for me to talk about what's going on in my life.
You can take them with you.
Oh, my family can come.
And
tell me this.
Now, yeah.
Tell me this in looking
you're
at this
picture.
You're
building a relationship with them so that you could take them with you, yes. So you miss your family less.
They've become a part of my extended family.
Yeah.
I want to give them a last name. Right off the bat, I go Johnsons. That's right off the bat.
Yeah.
But like, I'm trying to think of what kind of like a layer. No, I'm saying like what kind of last name implies like a layer of some kind, like the sediments, you know, like, okay. You know, what's a, I'm trying to think of other last names. Like, is there a Polish name that would,
they look like the Cumberbatches Stakowitz, to me.
The, huh?
Stakowitz?
Yeah, Stakowitz.
That could work.
I think if they,
that could work.
Because that also could be, I don't know who these people are. That could be a part of it. We're the Stakowitzes. That's what we do. We thought it'd be funny, the Stakowitz. Look, we stacked up Stakowitz. We also like Dr. Seuss.
Yeah. It could be the Stairs. The Stair family.
I forget about those last names that people have. That it's just like, yeah. What's your last name? Chair.
Yeah,
like, I'm sure there's somebody.
Yeah, Mr.
Last...
Door.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, I know. It's just a door. I know. Yeah.
Get out of my way, please.
Yeah, I just want to move on. The other thing I wanted to talk about is
goodbye, Stakowitz family.
Goodbye, Stakowitz. Well, I'm not saying goodbye. I get to see them every time I start up my computer. I was looking around for other stuff as inspiration on Yahoo News. And I like it when I do this because sometimes I read about this thing of how hyenas, this is on the parenting section of Yahoo News, mm-hmm. how hyenas give their cubs a leg up. Now, that was the only reference to animals on the entire Yahoo thing. And so I read the whole article and it was very lengthy. And all they said was it wasn't even about parenting in any way, shape, or form. It was frustrating that that's what they think should be in a parenting article on Yahoo News. It had to be some kind of anomaly in their algorithm because I'm sure this self-populates. It's not like somebody goes through and manages the layout like a newspaper.
Skynet runs Skynet, the website. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Arnold's in there going, I will do this now.
Yeah.
I've only made one movie now. But they had this stupid – and this is what I hate. This is why I don't like talking about the news or doing the news. As these say, it says, new video suggests twin rivalry begins before birth. So I go to read it, right? And they say, there's no study.
What's the title say again?
New video.
Okay, just that's all I needed to say.
Suggests twin rivalry begins before birth. Now, the other thing, so I read the study, and it just says that at a London Center for Fetal Care, they took this cinematic MRI of two twins in the womb. And there's an element too, and I really hope that that's what it is, and that I and or Yahoo and everyone else who has ever talked about this video is the victim of a horrible, like, internet prank. But it was from CBS News, is where Yahoo News got it. And it's two twins. One is really big. The other one is a little small. So if you do the search for the title, you can see the video. And it says that what they're saying is that they saw that there were two twins that were fighting with each other for space within the womb, implying conflict.
Right.
Now, you and I watched the video before we turned on the microphones. One child is moving. He's the kind of smaller one, or she's the kind of smaller one. While the other one is just literally sitting there in some kind of like Gandhi-esque namaste, like – cross legged or whatever, and the other one's just kicking his legs. There's no fighting. There's no punching.
No.
There's no, because that's what they've implied. That's
it
what
looks like. One of them is shadow boxing.
Yeah,
the other. Yeah,
that's I was afraid because it's cute because you see the little babies and everything, and that I wanted I was like afraid that one was going to throw a fist and accidentally pop the other one.
You're afraid?
Well, because I didn't want
them for that
because you're creepy.
They're not going to remember.
I know, but
some people don't even consider them to be real human beings at this point. That's the time for them to pop each other.
You could commit a crime and you're not even real yet.
No.
That was well said. Some
Thank
people.
You.
That was good. So he's going to pop him, but nothing happened. They just sit there and they're not fighting. Because I imagine you would see this time lapse thing of them like kind of wrestling in there and like grappling with each other and then
dropping a bionic elbow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One of them like tries to grab the umbilical cord and choke him out like he's he's got piano wire.
Just grabs it like the Ultimate Warrior, just starts shaking it up
shaking
and down.
It up and down you know, and I'm like, there's nothing in there that implies that there's conflict. It's just In fact, your video that you're trying to get me to watch does nothing but disprove your entire point. There is no room for any kind of like, oh, maybe, possibly.
Well, in the title, when it says new video suggests, there's, like you said, there's no study.
Yep.
It doesn't say study.
Nope.
New evidence.
Yep.
Nothing. It's just new video. Well, there's new videos every day on YouTube that prove nothing. In fact, they prove that both of these babies should be aborted, like right now. Because no good are going to come from them at all. Like, humanity has lost all purpose, and they just need to all be flushed
right now.
So, but I agree with you. It's a slow news day is what it is.
Exactly.
Slow
news day. I want to talk to you about any kind of – so you, we've talked a little bit about your daughter,
just a
too.
Tiny bit.
Yeah. And I apologize if this is frustrating you that I just –
No, it's fine. I came unprepared.
Like, okay, good.
Oh, I'm going to talk about my kid?
Yeah, that's easy.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
I could yank that out of my ass. She's just two. She hasn't had a lot of life yet, yeah. So there's not
well,
a
that's what I mean.
About.
It's like sometimes I – for me personally, like when I do the show,
yeah.
Sometimes I do feel like I get a little thing in my head where I'm like, I'm tired of talking about my kid. I'm tired
right.
of – I have things that are going on that frustrate me, and so there's that. But – I mean, do you have – is there frustrations at two that you have? Like, yeah, I feel like me, that's like, the tone of this show.
I feel – well, okay. I like your show a lot.
Well, thank you.
And I appreciate being able to take part in talking about that lovely family and
yeah.
these two beautiful children that have yet to be born.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's one of the things I like about your show is that you change it up and that you try to cover all facets of being a dad. And, you know, we're all fucked up people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we you know, we need to release – on stuff every once in a while, and sometimes releasing on your child is not the best thing
no.
to do. No, right now, like my daughter, I don't know if it's like growing pains. My wife says it's night terrors. I think my wife's melodramatic when it comes to that kind of stuff. You know, she's not sleeping through the night anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll go about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. She'll get up and she's like wide awake. And she's coming
but
out.
But she doesn't scream.
No,
when you say night terrors, like she just wakes up screaming
there been a
and
couple
running?
Times, well, she'll get up and she'll be crying,
mm-hmm.
but no, she's not screaming or anything. But, you know, like, I don't know. My daughter has the ability to open the doors by herself.
Mm-hmm.
And some people would say, well, put the
child
safety door.
Yeah. Yeah,
she
that
rips
stuff.
That thing right off.
Are you serious?
Yeah, she rips
she hulks
it off. Yeah, she pulls it right off. I mean, she's got my jeans. All right,
yeah.
So I mean, she's got big Bluto jeans forced through her little 2-year-old body, so that does us no good. You know, the only time I, as a cartoonist, you know, I have a full time job. You know, I only get time to get work done, real work. You know, my cartooning done when both my wife and my daughter are asleep.
Yep.
Okay. Well. She takes that all away.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm trying to crank out stuff. She comes in. She takes over. You know, she wants to watch WoWo, which is Elmo in our house. And and then I'll put on WoWo, and she'd be like, "No mouse." So now she's super indecisive, which is driving me batshit crazy. And then you know, you try to put her back down, and for us, it's like an hour process. We tried putting her down and then leaving the room. And she follows us. You know, what am I going to do? Block the door? You know, I can't.
I had a mom come up to me after the show while I was here and do that same thing. She's like, she goes, we only have one and she's 18 months or something like that. How do we get her to stay in her bed?
You yeah.
know, she was big enough to where, or no, I think it was two. She was so maybe the same exact thing. And I'm like, and it was a weird thing where it's like, I've been able to give people advice and help them out. And
yeah.
It's not usually my thing, but I've had a good run. And then she just stumped me. I'm like, I don't know because I just didn't have that. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
we would – I was told we'll put the safety gate back up because she's still in her crib. We drop the bed. We take that front gate off.
Yeah.
So now it turns
now
into
it's a toddler
bed.
Yeah. Right.
Well, she was jumping over that thing. That's why we took it off in the first place.
Because it's dangerous, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, she – I don't know what it is, but like I've tried just leaving her in there. You know, I'm a heartless bastard. I can do that. It doesn't bother me. But she keeps coming out, and it's more frustrating than anything to try and leave her in there. So I'll go in there. I have my phone. You know, I've already read her a story to go to bed, so she doesn't need that again. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm not reading that book again. So I pull out, you know, I'm reading Twitter. I'm telling her to go to sleep. Takes me
You're
about
reading Twitter to her?
No, I should. I can show her some of the pictures that you're tweeting.
Honey, yeah.
You know, it's like, this is our future. Not quite as involved because there's only three of us, but we could get the dog in there somewhere. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, he's a Stackowitz.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that's a family to aspire to. I don't know. I think that's a beautiful thing.
On a level, I do. Not to go back to it, but on a level, I do too.
As long as they're not all dead right now.
Yeah.
But like. After about an hour, she'll fall asleep. I'll get out. And then, like, another hour later, she's getting up again. It's, you know, I was sleeping on the floor. Like, I was sleeping on the floor.
Outside her bed? Like, just
next to her crib. And that was great. My wife, you know, feeling sorry for me, brought home an air mattress. And so she, you know, I'm putting an air mattress down. Just I'm hoping that at some point she'll grow out of this
mm-hmm.
and she'll start to sleeping through the night again. Because I would love it. Like if I'm sleeping on the air mattress, she gets off her bed and onto the air mattress and starts kicking me off the air mattress. So I can't sleep in my bed because my wife kicks me out. I can't sleep in the air
How
mattress.
How is this supposed to be defined
out.
As a blessing? You understand? Not that your daughter isn't amazing.
It's tough,
but
man.
These are the
it's
things
tough,
that yeah. always, that this is. Here's what I think. I think that when you call something, here's. I think we're the victims of our own urban legend.
Okay.
Okay. I think that when you start, when we look at people, oh, you're so blessed. It's just, it's such a blessing. It's such a blessing. Because I've yet, yeah. And maybe it's because I purposely pushed them away from my life, but I've had very few people that I've, I'm trying to think. I have one person that is, I'd have come across and that was like, you know, it is a blessing and it is, but, and I'm trying to articulate my thought here. My point is, I think what happened is that everybody was getting frustrated. And then what happened was before you had to have kids because you had somebody to help you milk the cows, plow the fields,
right.
handle everything. There was a business of some kind or a trade that
they
you needed
necessary.
To pass on. There was that was all kind of children were necessary.
Yeah.
And so then eventually life became more filled with conveniences
mm-hmm.
and that we which kind of psychologically makes us be like, hey, I want to do what I want to do.
Right.
Right. And then kids kind of get in the way of doing what I want to do. And then now it's like, so then we kind of have to overcompensate by saying, well, we have to have children, you know, otherwise, because we have that, you know, continue the species bullshit
sure.
probably going on in our head. But it's not, and so we've somehow tricked ourselves into calling it a blessing. And I'm not saying it's the shittiest job in the world. It's a fucking horrible thing. I'm just saying, don't sugarcoat it, because you're not doing anybody any favors.
Well, yeah, it's like saying every baby is cute. They are not.
No.
No, there's some really ugly babies
yes.
out there.
Yes. Scary ugly.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if they're lucky.
I mean, not
year,
mine. I'm sure not yours
either. Not mine either. Yeah, no. That's bullshit. My daughter's beautiful.
Yeah.
She is beautiful. She is the world.
Don't look her in the eyes. It's creepy.
As long as Bob's not singing it to her, I'm okay with it. No, but like for me, you know, having multiple kids, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like you have two,
mm-hmm.
blows me away. Like I can barely handle one.
Blows
and
me away.
Myself.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, and back in the day, you're right. You know, they had a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you needed to do shit, and chances are you were going to lose a couple of them, so you had more than one. You
thank
know?
You again.
I don't mean to be creepy, but that's the truth. That's why they.
It's your thing. That's okay.
That's why they had seven kids on a farm because yeah. they had seven different chores.
That's
they
not. Here's the thing. You know what's funny is that maybe what's creepy too is that people are uncomfortable with your honesty because it's true. It's a fact.
Yeah.
It's not a fun fact.
No,
but it's a fact.
No,
yeah.
I, you know. Like, for me, I'm happy with one. You know, I gave her a badass first and middle name so that hopefully whatever she's doing, she uses those, and I don't have to worry about her changing her last name.
Mm.
All right? I'm a creative person. I don't go by my real name. I go by Junior Bruce, and that's how I live my life. And, you know, I try to do that for her.
So her first and middle name are Jeanette Bruce? Or
yes. No, my daughter's name is Aurora.
That's a beautiful name.
Yeah,
well done.
We call her Rory for short.
Awesome.
Yeah, my wife.
So you got the pretty name and the – you're right. You got a pretty name and then a cool, fun name for friends.
Yeah, and my wife was fighting for a middle name. She wanted Rose. But then if you've been on YouPorn or if you've been to a strip club, they all have a Rose.
I love
Amber
it.
Rose, Amanda Rose.
I love it.
Maggie Rose.
I love it.
It's bad. So, you know, being as far away from being a hippie as I am, we named her Moon.
Oh.
Aurora Moon, or Rory Moon.
That is good.
It's a cool little, you know, a creative name. She can go out in the world and do her thing. And, you know, I'm hoping she's already drawing with me. Like, she picks up my sketchbooks and she takes things I've just worked on for 2 hours and she scribbles all over them with crayons. It's great. But
it's a blessing.
Yeah, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Thank God for digital stuff.
And that's, you
scan it in and save it.
We kind of stumbled on this too. That this mom came up to me after the show and she was talking to me and I'm sorry. Let me backpedal. She wasn't a mom. A lady came up. She was kind of buzzed and she goes, "It being a dad can't be that bad." And what's funny is that I don't have in me the ability to fake it or to lie. So I just
right.
go, well, it's not great. Like, it's not, you know, but other people were standing around me and they were saying things like, well, it has its moments. And it's like, yeah. And they say the moments outweigh the bad moments. And I'm sure that some people listening to the show do feel this way, but
right.
I don't think those people need to have a place where they feel better. I think that there are people like me that's yeah. like, I don't even remember the last moment that was. And I'm a guy who talks about a moment of the week at the end of every hour that he vomits to people
right.
who want to listen to that have similar experiences on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
You know? That it's that those moments are super, super small and mm-hmm. super, super fleeting. And I just wish that society as a whole would be more realistic about what it is, because I think, and I was talking to my friends about this too, I think that you would have more people being more realistic about parenting, and that you would get rid of the societal pressure of, you know, feeling like that's a step in life. We don't live in that world anymore. We have so many people in the world that if you don't want to fucking shit out a kid, don't shit out a kid.
Right.
And if you only want to shit out one kid. And guess what? That kid's going to be just fine. It's probably going to be better off than my two.
Like, well, there's a lot of pressure. Like, you know, my wife is Mexican, so she has a big family.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And
you look at her and get pregnant. Come on, that's a great joke.
there's a lot of pressure coming her way from her her multitude of aunts, uncles, and
they're trying to take over, Drew.
Well, the last thing I want is for my daughter to be a community baby. I've seen that happen in my wife's family, and it bugs the shit out of me. But no,
by community baby, you mean the concept of takes a village.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have a problem if my daughter is acting out of line in public, and I'm not there, and my wife isn't there. She's at school. I have no problem with the teacher pulling her aside, swatting her on the ass, and say, "Yo, get your shit together." I miss those days.
Yeah.
You know, I had an instance where I was at my niece's two-year birthday party. You know, it was right next to a little park. I took my daughter over there. We were going on a slide. She loves the slide. And these three little asshole five-year-olds came over, and they took over. They took over. And my daughter was trapped up at the top. I was at the bottom of the slide. And I'm like, hey, could you please move so my daughter can come down? And this little motherfucker looked at me in the eyes and said, no.
How old?
He was like five.
Oh, shit.
What can I do? Yeah. I can't do anything.
Because a 12-year-old, you could kick his ass. A 5-year-old makes you a brute.
I could kick a 5-year-old's ass, too. But, yeah, I would
physically,
look
terrible. But I'm saying, yeah, like, that's, look, yeah. Would,
there's no winning there.
Like, what I'm saying is you have that inclination, like, you must, but he's still kind of cute and young. That
yeah,
you're like, oh.
All I know is that my daughter is behind him.
Yeah.
He's separating me from my kid. And so my urge was to take him by the shoulder and shove him out of the way. I would have loved to have been able to live in a time when it was acceptable for you to take a kid by the ear. Okay, I don't need to
get
hit
over
him.
Here. Yeah.
And either you sternly talk to him.
Or even grab him by the arm without feeling like you're going to get arrested. Yeah.
Or you find his parents and you're kind of grabbing and you're like, you know, ripping your knuckles into him a little bit. You know, you're trying to leave a little bit of a bruise. And you find his parents and says, hey, your kid's acting like an asshole.
Yeah.
Take care of business. And they're like, I am so sorry. Hey, get over here. And then they lay the whooping in.
Don't you feel like sometimes when you look at those kinds of situations that, like, how do you raise an asshole? Like, how do you – I feel like sometimes you have to try.
It takes a village. It really does.
If you have a village of assholes, then they beget assholes. Because I don't know a lot of people, and I know that like people like to say that there's a ton of – I don't know a lot of people that are assholes, like, inherently. But I just – and I just – it's surprising to me, though, that – everybody has that situation. The minute you enter your child into school, that you're like, there's an asshole kid there. There's or maybe two or three. Or
I don't know. The one thing I try to be.
By the way, if you don't have an asshole in your class, that means your kid's the asshole.
Yeah, that's so true. Absolutely. That was me. I try to look at it as responsibly and realistically as I can. You know, I understand. I try to be rational. He's five. Mm-hmm. He's with his friends. He's doing what he's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. My daughter, when she's acting like a little shithead, is doing what she's supposed to be doing. She's testing her boundaries, and it's up to me as the responsible adult to try and stay calm and lead by example. You know, be firm if I need to, but never be mean or hurtful.
Yeah.
And it's tough. It's tough. Sometimes you just want to grab a little five-year-old, just beat the shit out of it. Especially if it's not yours, because then you don't have to take it home. You can just send it off to somebody else.
And I know we kind of have to wrap it up, but I am curious, like, because I feel like that's a phrase that gets tossed around. I'm way overthinking everything this episode, but I like it. That because I do you think you honestly have the inclination to want to beat the shit? Because I don't. I think that beat the shit. It's become like a euphemism for correct. Like
yeah.
I just,
well,
yeah.
No, yeah.
And it's funny. I get it. I'm not trying to overanalyze and take the fun out of
it. It's like
but...
you overly sexualizing that
exactly.
family's picture. It's just what's in today's society. No. Yeah. No, I want to be able to scold the child
yes.
firmly and say.
You just want to give him like a dad voice and a dad look. Hey, knock
behave.
It off.
Exactly.
You know, that kind of thing.
This is not how you behave.
Yeah.
Where are your parents?
But instead we have to be pussyfoot around the whole thing. Like, hey, listen, can you get out of the way so my daughter would. But if those were all your kids, like you, Jimmy, get your ass out of the way.
Yeah. Do you want me to kick your
ass?
Yeah,
I will come up there.
Yeah.
It'll take me 20 minutes to fit in that little hut. They, Because I don't understand these swing sets now. They put the things up there. You can't get in there as a grown father.
No.
You're a dude. You could. No way.
No, I'm a big dude.
Yeah.
I saw the same time at this party. I'll try to be quick. But like my niece was being carried around and played with by her cousins. Mm-hmm. I had my daughter. And I'm watching these little mongrels. They're like 12, 13, 14, carrying this two-year-old around like she's a rag doll. Mm-hmm. They take her up to the biggest slide, you know, those giant slides at the very top of this play structure. And then they all go down the slide and they leave her up there.
Wow.
And I'm like, I want to save the baby, but I physically can't get up there.
I can't do it.
I mean, I would look like
I'm too big.
King Kong scaling the Empire State Building, and you know, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I do my best. You know, I like to try and lead by example as much as I can, and I'm just hoping that when my daughter gets old enough to start dating, she's just attractive enough to get like a chess team nerd. Mm-hmm. All right, because I know that I could kick his ass. I could strike the fear of God into him.
So you don't want her necessarily.
I don't want her to bring home hot. A pretty nerd is. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want her to be a cosplayer showing everything at comic book shows. Just you know, a pretty.
You don't want
nerd.
An oversex nerd.
No, yeah. I don't.
Ren Faire. You don't want that.
No, I don't want that. Yeah. I don't want either spectrum. I don't want her to be hot enough to get like a gangbanger and then be bringing the because I can't kick a gangbanger's ass.
No. Yeah.
You know, I can't strike fear into his heart.
I want any father listening to the show who has a daughter that had a guy show up that you tried to scare that you were honestly afraid of. Please write me. That is a brilliant conversation that I would love to have and hear that story. So give us a call, 408-228-4911, and tell me that story, please, for the love of God.
Everybody,
because you know it's happened.
Yeah, no,
it has to have happened, especially
like,
today.
I could just see myself, like, you know, I'm looking out the window and I see a big gangbanger and a wife beater and, you know, his baggy pants and his stupid, you know, shorts poking out and. And he's strutting up.
He called them shorts.
You know, boxer shorts, whatever they are.
You're like my age, and you turned into an 87-year-old guy. Damn it, Junior! I love
you. Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
I wouldn't even be strong enough to say that. You're here for my.
Like you're doing the. I imagine some part of the scenario has to be you're doing the cleaning the rifle thing or whatever.
Yeah.
And this kid was in some kind of ROTC or something
and
or
he's
whatever.
Like, oh yeah, I got one too.
Yeah. Or he just assembles it real quick with it. He goes, oh, while waiting for your daughter to get ready, watch this, and he. Like closes his eyes and assembles it.
And starts flipping around like he's in the Marine Corps or whatever.
And does a funeral salute or
that'd
whatever.
All right,
let's do some moments of the week.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment.
Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
Let's see. This last week, I got to go hang out with my friends with both the kids, and so I'm going to combine both of them into one. I was over at my friend's house, and they have a boy that's like a month younger than Jacob. And so they got to play with the little boys, and we went to a park. And Jack is young enough to where he's not really afraid, but old enough to where he likes the idea of going down slides. Jacob used to be this way, but he slapped his head up against the side of a slide, and now he's afraid even at four.
That'll learn you.
So, but he's going down like the full-size spiral like slides, and he's like coming down almost head first. And I just like the idea of seeing that pure joy. And then I got to... I realized it that when you're kind of by yourself with your kids all day, for anybody who feels kind of guilty, because I do when I'm like being the stay-at-home parent, that I don't spend enough time playing with my kids. And I realized that it's because that's a different mindset. Because when there were other people to help me protect the children and watch over them, I wrestled with them like I used to when it was just Jacob. And I still kind of wrestle them, but my wife has to be home because there's somebody else who can also be responsible and be the, you know, the not necessarily having fun and not focused on what's going on around them and all that stuff. And so I was wrestling with Jacob and his friend and stuff. And I was just, oh my God, I felt so good at the time of my life. It's another one of those moments that it felt good because I tuckered that little shit out. He couldn't keep up with me, and I felt amazing.
Right on.
All right, your turn, my friend.
My daughter has just started putting words together. Mm-hmm. Like for the longest time, it was single syllable words, and then it was single words, multiple syllables, and now she started putting words together on her own. And you know, outside of Mickey Mouse, just the other day, for the first time, I said, "Daddy loves you," and she's like, "Love you, Daddy," mm-hmm. and heart melted. And I was like, "Okay, do you want some ice cream?"
Yeah, I'll give you like, anything you fucking want.
Yeah, just. You know what? The day is yours.
That's all right. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. And yeah, it was good. We took her to the Disney store. She saw Mickey Mouse. We bought that stuff for her. And,
that's cool.
And yeah, it was a good time. So that's cool. It's really crazy to see them just like the milestones of getting older. It's like, I can't believe like she was one day away from ending up in a sock. You know what I mean? That's the crazy thing. Like,
way to close it out on creepy.
I'm glad she's the one that made it and not the other kid. That's all I'm saying.
That's all you're saying. Put those kids in a sock, damn it. Give us a call, 408-228-4911, or send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. I just finished up a week at Laughs Unlimited. That's what I'm doing right now. About to go do a show real quick. And I just wanted to tell everybody who saw me there that I've had the time of my fucking life, unless this Sunday show goes horrible. So if you saw me in the Sunday show and it was really bad, then I ended on a bad note. But I just, anybody who came to see me there, I appreciate it. I had friends come out, and it really meant the world to me. It was a really great, great week. You can come see me with Heath Heitch at the Hartford Funny Bone in Hartford, Connecticut, December 6th through December 9th. I'm going to be at Good Nights in Raleigh, North Carolina. That's right, Naptime Radio Country. What? December 12th through December 16th. And then at the Stardome Theater in Birmingham, Alabama, December 18th through December 23rd. And this is why I'm going to be lonely, because I'm going to come home on Christmas Eve, be home Christmas Day, and then I'm headed right back out on the road. This time I get to take the kids, but I am going to be at Wits End in Westminster, Colorado. That's right outside Denver for New Year's Eve. And that's December, I think it is the 27th through the 31st. But if you go to justincomedy.com for all the details. Thank you, by the way. Some people have canceled subscriptions, and I'm not mad, but it just wanted me to real quick say thank you to the people who do the paid subscription, and some of you also have been just doing like a donation money of $25. That really does mean a lot to me, and it helps me out a lot. So thank you for taking the time to do that. If you also want to support the show, I know some of you might be doing some last-minute Christmas shopping. You can click through the Amazon banner, and we get a little, like about 10% off of whatever you buy there, depending on what you buy and all that stuff. So I appreciate that. I appreciate all the support. You could follow me at Twitter at Justin Worsham. You could follow the show on Twitter at Dad Podcast. Junior Bruce, you are going to be at the Junior. You are on the Junior and Leo show. That's a great podcast. You can hear me on that.
Yes. You were on it. Absolutely.
I was on it. Thank you for having me on
Junior,
it.
The Junior and Leo show.com.
JuniorandLeoShow.com. And then also for your cartoon work, JuniorBruce.com. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. JuniorBruce.com takes you to my Tumblr blog, and you can see all my art.
And you make a little, do you do like little comic strips like you might find in a newspaper or
no.
just art?
I do.
People can pick up prints if they want.
I recently opened up a little print shop. I'm going to be posting.
Now, say I'm a guy who has a kid who really likes, say, Incredible Hulk. Can I get you to do like Junior Bruce's take on Incredible Hulk?
I would be open to commissions. So my email's right there. I'm working on getting all the information up. And I'm going to be putting that up in my store, too. It's all through JuniorBruce.com.
Awesome. Thank you so very much for being on the
show,
sir.
I
appreciate it.
Awesome. Hope I didn't creep you out too much.
You did not at all. I'm a big fan, my friend. I'm a big fan. On behalf of my new friend, Junior Bruce, this is Justin Worsham saying, stay frosty.